You know, later on, you already know this, but later on this morning, matter of fact, it's only an hour from right now, we'll be starting another service right over here in the Veterans Park. And I've already got the little podium in my car ready to go. That's why I got to be up here at the big one this morning, because I've already got the little one loaded up in the car. But I would ask that Chris Neal is going to pray here in the church and perhaps move over there. I'd ask if you would want to pray with him, please do that afterwards. We want to lift up that service as an opportunity to minister to our community and just tell them the good news of Jesus. And so I'm going to share with you what I'm going to share in just an hour over there, and it comes from Acts chapter 9. And so if you've got your Bible and you want to follow along in Acts chapter 9 or you want to look at the Bible in the pew, I am going to be reading it from a little different translation perhaps than is in the pew or that you have, but a very well-known and a very easy-to-read translation called the New Living Translation. And you know, this question that is in your bulletin, the title of our message, has been on my heart. And I don't know if it's just because of this service over here or just because of humanity in general. I think some of both. But I'm asking myself and I'm asking us today and I'm asking our community in an hour, am I a follower of Jesus? Am I a follower of Jesus? And people tell me all the time, well, Jim, I know about God. And as a matter of fact, I believe in a God out there in heaven in somewhere. And I believe that I've probably been a pretty good person, and when I die, I'm going to be in heaven with him. But you know what? The Bible said we need to know Jesus. And so I want to ask us this morning, as I ask myself, and I'm going to ask our community in an hour, am I a follower of Jesus today? I mean surrendered, committed, faithful, obedient follower of Jesus, because that's what he wants. And that's what it's going to take to be his child and to be with him forever, to be a follower of him. Not a follower necessarily of the denomination or the pastor or the priest, but a follower of Jesus. That's what he asks of us. And so, listen to the words here in Acts chapter 9 and listen to the Spirit of God as he ministers to you. And I hope and pray our community and our nation. Meanwhile, Acts chapter 9, verse 1. Meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the Lord's followers. This is the same Saul that becomes Paul. I think you know that. This is a Pharisee. This is a religious man. This is a man that knows about the Old Testament. He's learned. He's trained. He's a scholar in the Old Testament. And he thinks in his heart, I'm a follower of God. And yet, look how Paul writes here. Meanwhile, or Luke writes, meanwhile, Saul was uttering threats with every breath and was eager to kill the followers of Jesus. So he went to the high priest. He requested letters addressed to the synagogues in Damascus, asking for their cooperation in the arrest of any followers of the way. The way meaning followers of Jesus. He went to the religious high priest and he said, give me a letter of authority that I may go into Damascus and I may challenge and chain and imprison these followers of Jesus. And this was a godly man. This was a religious man. He wanted to bring them from Damascus, the Bible said, both men and women back to Jerusalem in chains. As he was approaching Damascus on this mission, a light from heaven suddenly shone down around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul answers in verse 5, he says, who are you, Lord? You see, he knew about God, and so it didn't surprise him to have a voice from heaven come booming out of this bright light. He knew about a God in heaven. He knew about the God of Moses. He knew about the Ten Commandments, but he didn't know Jesus. He didn't believe in Jesus. Oh, I think he knew there had been this Jesus on earth. I think he was well aware of raising Lazarus from the dead and healing the sick and giving sight to the blind and being crucified. I'm pretty sure he was well aware of that. And he knew about a God, so when he was cast down on that road that day, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He knew about God. And the voice replied, "I am Jesus." And that voice has come to your ears sometime too. It cries out to you by name and says in return, "I am Jesus." And he says to Saul, "I am Jesus, the one you are persecuting. Now get up and go into the city, and you will be told what you must do." The Bible says the men with Saul stood speechless, for they heard the sound of someone's voice, but they saw no one. Saul picked himself up off the ground, but when he opened his eyes, he was blind. So his companions led him by the hand to Damascus. He remained there blind for 3 days and did not eat or drink. But I know one thing he was doing. He was praying. Because the next verses tell us he was praying. The verse 10 says, "Now there was a believer." This is a follower of Jesus. This is a follower of the way. This is someone that acknowledged Christ as Lord. "There was a believer in Damascus named Ananias. The Lord spoke to him in a vision, calling, 'Ananias.' 'Yes, Lord,' he replied. 'The Lord said, go over to Straight Street, to the house of Judas. When you get there, ask for a man, excuse me, from Tarsus named Saul. He is praying to me right now.'" I know he was spending time in prayer. "I have shown him a vision," Jesus said to Ananias, "of a man named Ananias coming in and laying hands on him so that he can see again." "But Lord," exclaimed Ananias, "I've heard many people talk about the terrible things this man has done to the believers." He had heard about the stoning of Stephen. You remember that story? He had heard about Saul getting this authority from the high priest to go out to the places where the followers of Jesus were and beat them and imprison them and put them in chains, drag them back, if it were, to the high priest. He had heard about that. He had heard about what Saul was doing to the Jesus people, the followers, the believers in Jerusalem. And he authorized, the Bible said, and he is authorized by the leading priest to arrest everyone who calls upon your name, the name of Jesus. And so Ananias was simply saying, "God in heaven, are you sure you want me to do this? You know who he is, I know who he is, and I don't think that's all that smart or safe, either one. But the Lord said, go. For Saul is my chosen instrument to take my message, the message of Jesus, to the Gentiles and to the kings, as well as to the people of Israel. And I will show him how much he must suffer for my name's sake." So Ananias went and he found Saul. He laid his hands on him and said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus." I love that part. Because when he fell down in that dusty old street, he said, "Who are you, Lord?" He was en route to persecute people that were walking with Jesus. He was going to imprison them, beat them, stone them, kill them, whatever necessary, extinguish these followers of Jesus. And here comes this light, and Saul looks up and says, "Who are you, Lord?" "I am Jesus," he said. And Brother Ananias comes along, and he lays hands on Saul, and he says to him quite simply, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road, has sent me so that you might regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." Instantly, the Bible says, something like scales fell from Saul's eyes and he regained his sight. Then he got up and he was baptized. We could have used that last week too, couldn't we? He knew Jesus. He was changed and he got baptized all one sweeping motion. We could have referred to that last week too for our baptism service. afterward, the Bible said, he ate some food and he regained his strength. So you say, Jim, what's the point of this message? The point is, America claims to be a religious nation. 76% of Americans, which is down from 86 10 years ago, 76% of Americans say, I believe in God. And Saul did too. That's the point here. This was a religious man. This was a man in the committees. This was a man at the synagogues. This was a man studying the Old Testament, and he didn't know Jesus. That's the point. That's the point of Jesus. To know him. To know that God in heaven sent him, that we might put our faith in him, Jesus. John 14:6 is absolutely clear when he says, nobody comes to the Father but by me, Jesus said. We don't get to the Father. We don't know the Father. We don't have relationship with the Father until we know Jesus. Amen? Amen. We need to know Jesus. This was a religious man. He argues his religiosity in Philippians chapter 3. Check it out sometime. He says, as a Hebrew of Hebrews, I was circumcised on the eighth day. I was trained under the law. Oh, I was zealous in my persecution of the Christians. And he goes on and tells how religious he was, but he didn't know Jesus. This was a man on a mission from God, he thought. This was a man that was zealous and passionate in what he was doing. He thought he was doing the will of God. This was an educated man, a trained Pharisee, but he didn't know Jesus. I think he knew about some of the things that he had done. I think he knew good and well as he stood. You can read about this in Acts 6, I believe, as he stood at the feet of, or 7, as he stood at the feet of those stoning young Stephen. I think he knew full well about Jesus. But he didn't believe in him. He didn't acknowledge him as Lord. He didn't acknowledge him as his Savior. And so he was lost and on the wrong road in life because he didn't know Jesus. I recognize that we in America and the human race seems to be a spiritual people. We're always looking for something to fill that void in our heart that God Himself has put there to fill with Jesus. But if we're walking through life and we haven't recognized the importance of knowing the Savior, we're just walking through life. You see, brothers and sisters, Saul was in church. Saul was on the committees. Saul was learning from the Old Testament. Saul was learning from the scholars, probably every week. But as we recall in Luke 15 in the story of the prodigal, he was lost. He was lost, to use the terminology of Luke 15. Friends, we might be running through life. We might be charging through life with zeal. We might be charging through life with enthusiasm. Or some days, I suppose it feels like we may be crawling through life on broken glass and thorns. But anyway, we're getting through life. And we might be sailing through life thinking that I'm doing pretty good. I'm giving my best. I got my job here, and I got my wife and children, or my husband and children, or whatever. I got my parents, or maybe even I'm a deacon. Maybe I'm charging through life, and I'm taking care of my family. I'm doing the best we can. I'm being a model citizen. I'm involved in church. Whatever it is, whatever it is, I'm walking through this pathway called life. But if we've never met Jesus, like Saul met him this day, if we've never met Jesus, life is empty, life is meaningless, and life eternal will be without him. We must meet Jesus if we're ever going to be part of him forever, his kingdom now and eternity forever. You remember Jesus talking about the two roads in Matthew 7? There's a narrow gate, and Jesus says quite clearly, enter in at the narrow gate, because broad is the way, and broad is that gate and wide is the way that leads to destruction, and many are on that road. Just like Saul was on the road in life, you're on the road in life today. I'm on the road. Our community is on the road. Humanity is on the road in life. And Jesus said, enter in at the narrow gate, because that's the one that leads to life. Millions are on the wrong road, just like Saul was. Thought he knew about God. Thought he was doing the work of the church. And Jesus said, I am Jesus who you're persecuting. You don't know who I am. We're on the same roads. We're either on the broad road that leads to destruction and hell, or we're on the narrow road. And the only way to get on there is Jesus. Jesus said, I am the gate, I am the vine, I am the good shepherd. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. And you don't come to the Father without going through me. Jesus is the way we get on the narrow road. Saul didn't know that. And even though we're a spiritual people in America, and 76% of us claim we believe in God, we don't know Jesus as a nation, as a whole, as a humanity around the world. You might say, Jim, I've never had a lot of time for church. I've never had a lot of time for God and stuff like that, religious stuff. Jesus will take us, no matter who we are, no matter where we were, no matter where we've been. You might say, Jim, I've been in church a fair amount, and matter of fact, I've been there most of my life. You might say, I even serve on a committee or two, and I help with the socials and all that. But if we're walking through life just doing church outside of Jesus, we're just walking through life. And you know as well as I do, I don't have to explain to you, this is not a denominational thing. This is not a denominational thing at all. This is a biblical thing that we need to know Jesus. This is not a gym thing. This is not a Free Methodist Church thing. This is a biblical thing. This is the examples. The Bible says this is our examples. And Saul was trudging through life, and then he was racing with zeal through life, and he was missing Jesus completely. He was on his road to hell. Didn't even know it. And so let me just ask you, friends, are you ready to get on the narrow road with Jesus? Are you ready for heaven if it should come today? Are you ready for eternity because you have met with Jesus? Are you still just walking through life? Saul wasn't ready. The Pharisees thought he was. He thought he was. Clearly, he wasn't ready. I got some other things I want to share, but I don't have time. And so let me conclude with this. God is calling somebody today in our church and in our community and in other churches by name, just like he called out Saul. He's calling out, his Spirit is calling out to you, and he wants you to meet with Jesus in a personal way, in a life-changing way. I talk to so many people that say, well, Jim, I'm not that bad. I talk to so many people that say, well, I'm in church, what do you expect? Or I've been baptized, or I've been this, or I've that. I'm not talking about church attendance this morning, brothers and sisters. I'm not talking about church rituals. I'm not talking about church traditions, because I too have been in church most of my life. Saul had been in church all of his life. I'm talking about a relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus Christ. A relationship with God the Father through faith in Jesus that changes us, just like Saul was changed from lost to found, from blind to see, from a zeal against God to a zeal for God. I'm talking about that kind of transformation. Meeting and trusting Jesus in a personal way is what he's asking of you today if you've never done that. And I know that perhaps this morning and perhaps later I'll be labeled as getting a little religious. And most of you know me well enough, I'm not that religious. But I have a relationship with Jesus. And let me just ask you and conclude with this. Do you know Jesus because you have met him in a powerful, personal way? Revelation 3:20 says, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock." Jesus' words. "If any man hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and fellowship or sup or dine," whatever your translation says. "I will come in and fellowship with him and sup with him and dine with him and he with me." And you know what? The Bible says God's not willing that any should perish. He doesn't want anybody in hell. But we have to make a decision for Jesus, or we're on the broad road, the fast track, if you will, to eternity apart from God. We have to make a decision for Jesus. Is he tapping on your heart's door today? Let's pray. Father in heaven, you know our heart. We ain't fooling you. People in America, people in our families, people in our community, people in our church and our churches. Sometimes we have sat there for years and known about you, O God, but never acknowledged Jesus. Father, I pray today that if there is even one here this morning that has not met with Jesus on the road in life, as it were, as Saul met with Jesus on the road to Damascus, I pray that as you're tapping on their heart, that they would just recognize the need for repentance and salvation through Christ alone. And as we pause just a moment here, Father, with our heads bowed before you, I'm going to ask our congregation, if there is one today that has not met with Jesus, that would want to know Jesus as their Lord and Savior, slip your hand up and then down, so that I may pray with you later, give you some literature, and help you on your path to life eternal with Jesus. Are there any today that want to know Jesus in a personal way? Because you've not met him in a personal way yet. Slip your hand up and then down. And so, Father, as we travel this pathway called life, guide us and direct us. Guide hearts that haven't been open to you to open up their heart to you fully and completely. Direct lives, Father, that are cooled off, lukewarm, callous, carnal, whatever it is, direct us, if we've claimed the name of Jesus, to have a zeal and a passion like Saul came out, as we read later on, came out the other side with a zeal for Jesus. Help us to be that way, Father. We pray that you would continue to minister to hearts this morning, here and all over our nation, all over our community, that people might claim the name of Jesus, might confess, as Romans 10 and 9 says, if we confess with our mouth and believe in our heart the Lord Jesus, and that God raised him from the dead, we will be saved. I pray, Father, that there would be confession, repentance, and acknowledging of Jesus all over America today. We pray in his precious name. Amen.